the land in the work. And then the writings of Rabash, second volume, page 1401. What is the reason for which Israel merited the inheritance of the land in the work? There is no English text for it. The text says, not because of your righteousness or the integrity of your heart are you going to possess their land. Rather, because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, and so that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your forefathers. We need to understand this, because from here it sounds as though the reason that the Lord gave the inheritance of the land to the people of Israel is because, as it says, because of the wickedness of the nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. This means that if the reason of the wickedness of the nations did not exist, then there would be no reason to give the inheritance of the land. And we should further understand what is the second reason that it says, because the Lord swore to your forefathers. And without this oath, the Lord does not need to give the land to the people of Israel. This is difficult to understand. Our sages said, the whole world was created only for Israel. Which means that all of the good things that exist in the world are for Israel. Whereas here it sounds as though because of other reasons the people of Israel are being given a land of delight, good and broad, a land pouring with milk and honey. And the text gives two reasons. One is due to the wickedness of the nations. Two, due to the oath that he has swore to your forefathers. But the text comes to tell us that we should not be mistaken, that the reason that he gives us the inheritance of the land is because through your righteousness and the integrity of your heart you come to possess their land. Rather, because of the above two reasons. Bala Sulam asked about what it says, and he told him to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, how will I know that I will inherit it? Then he told Abraham, you should know that your seed will be living in a land not their own, and they will be tortured for 400 years, and then they will come out with a great possession. And he asked, what kind of an answer is that which the Creator gave to what Abraham asked? How will I know that I will inherit it? The Lord told him, you shall know that your seed will be foreigners in a land not their own, and later on they'll come out with a great possession. This means that the answer was for the question, how will I know? Meaning that Abraham says that he wants guarantees for the inheritance. So the Creator gave him an answer, so that by this answer he will be certain about the inheritance of the land. If so, we need to understand this answer that already contains a guarantee regarding the inheritance. And he said that the meaning is that at the time that the Creator told him to give you this land to inherit it, then Abraham saw the greatness and importance of this land. Because the matter of the inheritance of the land, it refers to Malchut, that she receives all the light from above and imparts them to the souls. Because Malchut is called Knesset Israel, the Assembly of Israel. And Abraham saw, according to the rule, that there is no light without a kli, a vessel, meaning that there is no fulfillment without a deficiency. That if the Creator will give Israel a little bit of illumination and an awakening from above, they will settle for little, and they will have no deficiency for higher degrees. If so, Abraham saw that there is no possibility that the people of Israel will be able to receive the inheritance of the land because they have no need for it. And this was the question, how will I know? Not, God forbid, that he did not believe what the Creator told him. Rather, his question was that he said that he does not see that they will have a need for it. As when you give a person something which is valuable, but if he doesn't have a need for it, that person cannot enjoy that thing. It follows that even if they would give them the inheritance of the land, if they have no need for it, then they won't be able to enjoy it. And even though from the side of the giver everything is okay, but if the lower one doesn't have a need, what can the giver do? And this is what Abraham asked about. And the answer was, you should know that your seed will be foreigners, meaning that they will be in exile among the Egyptians, which is called a land not theirs. Which means that the people of Israel want to work for the sake of heaven, however the Egyptians will be governing them. And every time that the people of Israel will want to come out of the exile, as it says, and the people of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry rose to God from the work. That in general, the nations of the world refer to the will to receive for oneself. However, in the will to receive, there are many different desires. And every specific desire is related to a particular nation. Hence, in general, they are called the 70 nations of the world, corresponding to the 70 aspects of the desire. And this extends through, as it says, one opposite the other, which means that against the seven sefirot of sanctity, which are Chagat Nehim, and each one of them includes 10 sefirot, altogether they are 70 nations. And there is also the discernment of Israel, who are called by Yashar Kel, who are the opposite of the will to receive for oneself. Rather, they are a desire to bestow to the Creator, meaning that it wants to give contentment to its Maker. Therefore, since the Egyptians were ruling them, they had to do all of the work for the Egyptians and not for the benefit of the Creator. This is as it says, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. Which means that the people of Israel would have liked to work for the benefit of the Creator. However, the Egyptians were ruling them, hence, and they sighed. Meaning that they saw that not only do they not progress, rather they're going backwards. This is as it says, and their cry rose to God from the work. Then, when they see that they cannot get out of the exile by their own forces, therefore they ask of the Creator, as it says, and their cry rose to God. Which means that the Creator helped them to come out of the exile of Egypt. This is as the Zohar says about what they say, one who comes to be purified is aided. And it asks, in what? And it replies, with a holy soul. This follows that specifically at the time that they are laid under the dominion of the evil, then each time they see more and more the dominion of the evil. And then a person comes to feel two things. One, that the will to receive, which is the governance of the Egyptians, is so bad because it distances him from the Creator. Which means that before he started the work of in order to bestow, he wasn't yet aware of how many evils the will to receive is causing him. And this is because of the well-known reason that they don't show a person the magnitude of the evil all at once. Rather, they show it to him bit by bit, because otherwise he'll immediately run away from the work, and he will say that this is not for him. By this we can explain the words of Rambam Maimonides, who says that the matter of Lishma is not revealed to a person in the beginning of the work, rather until they increase in reason and they wisen up. Then they show them this secret bit by bit. We need to understand, what does it mean that they reveal this secret to them bit by bit? We need to understand, how can this matter of bit by bit be possible? When they tell a person that he has to do everything lishma, already it is all revealed for him. And what else can you reveal? Rather, we should explain that the matter of what they say that they reveal to them, who is the one who discloses to them the secret of the matter of Lishma? And we should also understand what it says, until they increase in their reason and they grow extra wisdom. Who is the one who knows that one is already rewarded this state of until they increase reason and wisen up? Rather, we can understand that as the Zohar gives a literal explanation about what it says, notify him about his sin. And he asks, and it asks, who notified him? And it replies, the Creator. We need to understand what it says, that the Creator notified him about his sin. In what manner did he notify him? And we need to explain it, as it says in the Sulam commentary, as follows, that if a person will engage in Torah and mitzvot, even for his own pleasure, nevertheless, through the light in it, he will feel the terrible lowness and corruption which is in the nature of receiving for himself, and then he will make up his mind to retire from this nature of reception and completely devote himself to bestow contentment upon his Maker. Then the Lord will open up his eyes and he will see before him a world which is full of the purpose of perfection, which does not have any flaw in it. By this we can understand how the Creator notifies him that he has sinned. We should explain this, that when a person studies even in Lolishma, the light in it notifies him, that the will to receive is the root cause for all the evil, that it is the one that disturbs one from having the ability to receive this good and pleasure which the Creator wishes to give the created beings. And the light in the Torah, this is considered that the Creator notifies the person that he has sinned. By this we can also explain, why does Maimonides say that we have to begin to accustom the person in the work of Lolishma and not in Lishma? This is because the matter of Lishma is revealed to a person by getting the light of the Torah. It follows that necessarily, if one does not engage in the Torah, even in Lolishma, where from will he take the light of the Torah? Hence, Maimonides says that we have to begin in Lolishma. By this we can understand what we asked. Who knows if they have already gained extra wisdom and it is permitted to tell them about the matter of Lishma? The answer is, the light in the Torah knows how much they are impressed from the light of the Torah. To that extent, there is the ability to tell them about the matter of Lishma. And by this we can understand what Maimonides says, that they disclose it to them bit by bit. And the meaning is that since the matter of the sake of heaven means not for self-benefit, and a person has to feel what does it mean not for self-benefit, and this is revealed to him by the light of the Torah. Therefore, every time the light discloses to him the evilness which is in the will to receive, because through the light that a person receives from the Torah, he sees every time a little bit of the evil that is in the will to receive. This is as it says, they reveal to him bit by bit. And the matter of evil is explained in two manners. One, what is the nature of the evil? Meaning, how much does a person lose because of reception for himself? Two, how much the body resists the work of bestowal? And these two things a person receives from the light of the Torah bit by bit. This is as it says, they disclose to them this secret bit by bit. Meaning that through the light that one receives from the Torah in Lolishma, he comes to discover these two things. Meaning the extent of evil that is in the will to receive, and the extent of the resistance of the body each time to such a great extent that a person sees that when he tries to overcome. This is as it says, bit by bit, meaning that every time the light shows him, and this is considered that it is impossible to disclose it to him all at once. By this we can understand what we asked. Why does the text say that specifically because of the weakness of the nations, they were awarded the inheritance of the land? And the reason is again, as the Lord promised to Abraham, that in this manner, meaning because the people of Israel will suffer the exile among the Egyptians, meaning all the nations of the world with all the bad qualities that are in them wish to rule over the people of Israel. And the people of Israel want to specifically do everything for the sake of the Creator and not for the benefit of these 70 nations. Then they feel a deficiency and they will see that they are not capable of overcoming them. Then it will be, as it says, and the people of Israel sighed from the work and their cry rose to God from the work. Then the Creator will give them the necessary help for that. And it is, again, that every time they will be awarded a holy soul. And this will be the reason that the people of Israel will have to accept the inheritance of the land. They will take it out of necessity, that is, in order to save themselves from the governance of the nations of the world. This is as it says, because of the wickedness of the nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Meaning that specifically through the wickedness of the nations, there is the ability that the Lord can give them the land of Israel. Because the feeling of the bad, of the evil, when they discover that this evil is what disturbs them from coming closer to the Creator, because this is the only thing we lack. Because the matter of proximity or distance in spirituality is about equivalence of form. And at the time that there is equivalence of form between the light and the Kli, the light dresses in the Kli. Hence, the feeling of evil called the wickedness of the nations gives the need to get rid of that evil. Then the person starts purifying himself from self-reception. Then he sees that he cannot do it. And then he starts to pray to the Creator that he will help him. As our sages said, one who comes to be purified is aided. As it says in the words of the Zohar, that he is given a holy soul. Which means that every time that he receives help from above, it is by being given a soul, a discernment of the soul. It follows that the ups and downs are the reason that causes one the need and the desire to receive the inheritance of the land. This is as it says, that the reason is because the Creator has sworn to your forefathers, which means that it's not that the reason is because he swore to your forefathers, because of that he gives them the inheritance of the land. And we asked, our sages said about what it says, Bereshit, in the beginning, or Genesis, there is no Reshit, no beginning, except for Israel. It follows that everything was for Israel, and not because of the oath that he has sworn to the forefathers. Rather, we should explain that when the people of Israel will be qualified to receive the inheritance of the land, meaning when they will have a need for the inheritance of the land, because, as it says, because due to the wickedness of the nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. This is the reason that the people of Israel inherited the land. It is known that land is called Malchut, and Malchut is called the Assembly of Israel, because she assembles within her everything that is in Zeranpin, called Israel. And this is called the unification of the Creator and Divinity. And by this unification, the abundance is imparted to the souls. All of that comes from the beginning of the thought of creation. As the sages said, that there is no beginning except for Israel. Which means that the purpose of creation, which is his desire to benefit his creations, this refers to the people of Israel. However, in what manner will they get the good and pleasure? About that, the text comes to tell us that the main reason by which they will be qualified to receive it is because of the wickedness of the nations, and also in order to keep the oath which the Creator has sworn to your forefathers, that the matter of the inheritance of the land is as he told Abraham. At the time that Abraham asked, "How will I know that I will inherit it?" the answer of the Creator was that the people of Israel will be in exile. And this refers to the wickedness of the nations. Again, up to here.
I would actually continue.
By this it turns out that a person cannot climb the holy degrees if he does not feel a deficiency in the state that he is in. This means that the deficiencies and the suffering that a person feels, they make a person have a need to find advice in order to fulfill his deficiencies. Whereas if one is not feeling himself any deficiency, meaning even though it's possible that he knows that he has deficiencies in the work, but he feels no suffering because of it, then this deficiency cannot receive a fulfillment, because one is not looking for counsels for it. And without an awakening from below, meaning without a person asking of the Creator with all of his heart, there is no room for an answer to the prayer. Because if one does not feel suffering from the deficiency, he can no longer ask with his full heart. This is as it says in the Midrash, Shukher Tov, as follows, because the Lord your God has blessed you in all the deeds of your hands, even if you sit idle. And the Talmud says, with all the deeds of your hands, if he did so, then he's blessed. And if he didn't do it, then he's not blessed. Well, we see that without an awakening from below, meaning without a deed on behalf of the lower one, the blessing cannot come. And a question comes up, why? And the answer is, the fact that a person starts to do, from that work, a person receives a deficiency for that thing, meaning that there is a difference in the need for the thing. Which means that we need to realize how necessary is it for a person that which he wants to get. Because the work and the counsels that a person invests in order to achieve what he wants, this expands the deficiency for the thing. Necessarily, when he will achieve this thing, he'll be able to enjoy it. Hence, when we talk about the work, even though a person has a need for elation in the work, however, this need does not yet work in the person so that he will have a necessity for this thing. And necessarily, if he'll be given something from above, and he doesn't yet know how to appreciate what he will be given, it will be lost into the Sitra Achra. The other side. All of this is because the person is not clever enough to know how to appreciate anything in spirituality. This is as our sages said, who is a fool? One who loses what is given. That is, because the person cannot appreciate it if he's given a little bit of proximity from above, hence immediately it goes away from him and he receives a descent. And this is because he doesn't know how to keep the proximity. Because it is the way of the world that if you allow someone to enter the king's court a little bit, then he is concerned and looking for counsels for how to enter the king's house. And he doesn't settle for him being in a king's court. Hence, when you bring the person a little bit closer, then the person is content because he was brought closer, and it does not look for advice for how to keep going forward. Hence, this person is tossed to the outside. Then the person gets a descent, which is called a road accident, meaning that he had an accident on that path on which he was going to get closer to the Creator. Meaning that another vehicle crashed into his car, meaning that the vehicle of the corporeal world entered or crashed into the vehicle of the will to bestow. Then all the life that he had from the side of the desire to bestow went away from him and he remained unconscious, meaning that now he feels that he no longer has any spiritual life. Only after he recovers slowly and he starts to feel that all of the life that he is now living from now is only from the will to receive for himself. Then again he starts thinking and looking for advice how to again enter the work of bestowal. It follows that in order for one to have a deficiency so that he will have a need to rise on the degrees of the work of bestowal, he is given a descent from above so that he will have a need to advance. Because without a true need, a person cannot receive what he needs to attain. Therefore, if a person wants to guard himself so that he won't have a road accident, he has to keep himself so that he won't have a collision with the vehicle of the will to receive. And by that, he'll be certain that he won't lose what is given, meaning the assent that he received. By this, we can explain what it says, and you should remember that you were a slave in the land of Israel, of Egypt, and the Lord your God delivered you out of there. We should explain this on a way of work, that a person should remember that he had a descent before he reached the ascent, meaning that the Creator let him feel the evil in him. Meaning that a person should believe that this feeling that he was a slave among the Egyptians, meaning that he has no authority with which to do anything for the sake of the Creator, rather everything that he does is only for the benefit of the Egyptians in the person. This comes from the Creator. Later on, one should remember that now, when he's in a state of ascent, meaning that he feels a little bit that he's closer to sanctity, then one should remember that he has to keep going forward. So one has to remember now that as he was a slave before, meaning when he was in a state of descent, therefore now he should also find in himself a place of deficiency so that he will have a need to go forward. Otherwise, they will have to give him a descent from above, because without a need, a person cannot advance, and he has to stay in the same state that he is in. Therefore, so that it won't be necessary to give him a descent, therefore during the time of ascent, he has to find in himself a place of deficiency. This is as it says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there. By this it turns out that a person should begin the work in the state of the general, the collective, meaning in terms of the deed, and to aim that this will be for the sake of heaven, which means that a person keeps the Torah and mitzvot because the Creator gave us the Torah of life. And by that, by us keeping what the Lord commanded us, we will get a reward. As the sages said, and you can trust your employer that he will pay you a reward for your actions, because by that it will be good for us in this world and good for us in the next world. And this is what we have to believe, that even one gets thoughts and views that do not allow him to believe it, he still has to ask of the Creator to give him the strength to believe. And later on, there is a higher degree, which is not in order to receive a reward. Rather, he is rewarded with feeling that the keeping of the Torah and mitzvot is for him as he is serving a great king. And from that, we come to the inheritance of the land.
Letter 66 in the writings of Rabash, or in Rabash letters. Hello, and all the best to my dear friend. In Psachim, it begins with admonition and ends with praise. What is admonition? Rav said, in the beginning, our fathers were idol worshippers, etc. And we also say in the Passover story, in the beginning, our fathers were idol worshippers, and now the Creator has brought us closer to His work. To understand the matter, what we can learn from what they were before, we should interpret this in ethics. A person needs to know, when he engages in man's exodus from the exile in Egypt, and we see that all the mitzvot are dependent on this matter, because in everything we say in memory of the exodus from Egypt, which means that it is impossible to keep a commandment to the fullest before a person comes out of the exile in Egypt. Although generally, we have already come out of Egypt, but in person, each person must come out of this exile. For it is impossible to come out of the exile in Egypt before entering the exile. And only then can it be said that we are coming out of the exile. The author of the Haggadah tells us about this, that we need to know that in the beginning our fathers were idol worshippers, meaning that they were in exile under the rule of idol worshippers. And only then the Creator brought our fathers closer. But if they did not feel that they were placed under the rule of idol worshippers, it could not be said that the Creator had brought them closer. Only when a person is remote from the Creator can it be said that the Creator is bringing him closer. Because the absence should always come before the presence. For the absence is the kli, and the presence is the light that fills the absence and the darkness. Therefore, we must know that we have to prepare ourselves thoroughly, meaning that a person should check himself meticulously and carefully to see his real condition, what his faith in the Creator is like, if he has complete faith, meaning is it truthful or superficial, meaning only going by the mitzvot which are taught by people, which means that he does it only out of habit and not because of his own desire. And also, whether his qualities are in order. That is he in the form of all of your actions will be for the Creator? Or, God forbid, to the contrary, meaning that everything he does is only with the intention to please himself. Our sages said about this verse, and the grace of the nations is sin, all the good that they do for themselves. And they cannot do anything for the Creator. And if a person is placed under this rule, like the nations of the world, then he is in exile, and then he is regarded as an idol worshipper. And there is room for prayer that the Creator will help him out of this exile. And then it could be said, now, meaning once he is in exile and regarded as an idol worshipper, it can be said, now the Creator has brought us closer to his work, meaning to work in the work of the Creator and to not work for the governance of idol worshipping. This is called the Exodus from Egypt, when all the works are for the Creator. For this reason, we relate the commandments to the memory of the Exodus from Egypt. Because only then, once we have come out of the exile in Egypt, can we keep the commandments because of the Creator's commandment and not for other reasons. This is the meaning of what the Tana says, beginning with admonition and ending with praise. This means that when a person wants to begin with the work of the Creator, he must begin with admonition, meaning with how we are placed under the governance of idol worshippers. Then he can come to the degree of now the Creator has brought us closer to his work. And this is ending with praise. The order of the work is in two ways, meaning in faith in the Creator, as well as in qualities, meaning that all his work will be for the sake of the Creator. By that, we should interpret what our sages said. Our sages said, when Rabbi Elazar ben Parta and Rabbi Hanina ben Tardion were captured, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta said to Rabbi Hanina ben Tardion, "Happy are you for being caught for one thing. Woe to me for being caught for five things." Rabbi Hananiah said to him, "Happy are you for being caught for five things and you are saved. Woe unto me for being caught for one thing and I am not saved. You engaged in Torah and in charity, etc." As Rav Huna said, all who engage only in Torah is as one who has no God, as it was said, and many days for Israel without a true God. What is without a true God? All who engage only in Torah is as one who has no God. It is difficult to understand this excerpt. We should interpret that the main thing that a person should do in this world is to make all his works to be for the Creator. And since man was created with the quality of delighting only himself, to the point that it is impossible for him to do anything unless he sees that some good will come out for himself, then how can one work for the Creator? But the Creator has given us commandments between man and man, by which man accustoms himself to work in favor of his neighbor. By that, he comes to a higher degree, to having the ability to work for the Creator as well. Otherwise, even though a person engages in Torah and Mitzvot, he cannot engage for the Creator. It therefore follows that if he engages only in Torah and not in doing good, he cannot work in order to bestow because he lacks the quality of love of others. It therefore follows that although he engages in Torah and Mitzvot, if it is not for the Creator, it is as one who has no God. For if he truly had the sensation of godliness, he would certainly be engaging in order to bestow. But if he had engaged in doing good, then he would have the quality of love of others, by which he would also come to love the Creator, and would have the ability to observe Torah and Mitzvot for the Creator. It turns out that a person should have the power and force to overcome his qualities, to turn them into being in favor of others. For by that, he will later be rewarded with working with those qualities for the Creator. Because once a person has already been corrected in his qualities, so he can work in favor of others, he can work on the matter of faith in the Creator. For then he is fit to be rewarded with faith. For then he already has equivalence of form called cleave unto his attributes in the manner of as he is merciful, so are you. And may the Creator help us come out of the exile and be rewarded with the complete redemption soon in our days. Amen.